John's Gospel, chapter 8, beginning at verse 2. At dawn, Jesus appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Let's pray together. Father, we confess that we cannot live by bread alone. We live by every word that comes to us from your mouth. So open today our ears, our minds, and our hearts, and let the light of your word shine on us, that we might live in that word who is Jesus. Amen. Maybe you remember Brian Welch. A number of years ago, Brian Welch was the lead guitarist for the band Korn, new metal band. There was a time he was at the top of everything the world says is success. Fame. Korn had 8 Grammy nominations and 2 wins. He had money. He had influence. Yet privately, he struggled with addiction, was living in chaos and darkness. Brian said at one point he would look in the mirror and not even recognize the person staring back at him. And then something unexpected happened. It wasn't a sermon. It wasn't a church service. He actually came home one day to his toddler daughter, Jenny, singing the lyrics to the songs he was writing and recording. He said he cried out to God in the middle of his mess, and yet instead of feeling condemnation, he said he felt seen by God, fully seen, and not rejected as he cried out to God, but accepted and loved. Brian Welch says at that moment that began a process of him walking away from addiction and indeed walking away from everything that was destroying him and stepping into a totally different life. Here's how he described it. His own words, he says, "It felt like I was stepping out of darkness and into light." Isn't that the tension that every one of us live in? We can choose to live in darkness, to hide in darkness, or live in the light. And we have to grasp this, that the light that exposes us is ultimately the light that saves us. The light that exposes us is the light that saves us. You remember this, when you were a kid, you were afraid of the dark. You were afraid of the dark because you thought something was in it. You were afraid of the dark because you thought there was a monster in the closet or someone underneath your bed. When you're a kid, you're afraid of the dark because you think something is in it. But when we're an adult, when we're adults, we're afraid of the light because we know that there's not something hiding there, there's something hiding here. And so we're afraid of the light. We don't outgrow the darkness. We don't outgrow our fear. We just learn how to manage it and how to hide it and how to rename it. John 8 opens the door to a story, to an account of people, just one person, but multiple people living in this internal struggle with darkness and an internal resistance to the light and the grace of Jesus. John 8, we usually put all the focus on the woman. This is the woman accused of adultery. It's a woman literally dragged from darkness into light, not invited. She didn't. She wasn't invited to a Bible study and had someone gently read a word or two of Scripture to her, hoping to invite conviction and then redemption. No, she was not invited. She was dragged. She was. There was no sense of defense. There was no sense of dignity. There was absolutely, let's be clear, there was absolutely nothing fair and forward about this scene. There is absolutely nothing fair about this. If we want to be really clear, let's notice that she was caught in adultery. And the last time I checked, more than one person would be involved in that, correct? So if she was caught, why is she the only one dragged before everyone else? What happened? What happened to the other fella? What happened to him? She found herself in the spotlight, surrounded by self-appointed, self-anointed, righteous, religious people with stones in their hands, prepared to execute judgment. This is never about justice. This is never about truth. This is a trap. It's a trap. They say it's a trap for Jesus, but it's also a trap for her. And here's the clarity. Let's be clear here. They're not wrong. They're not wrong. The law, the classic law, God's law, Old Testament law, says it with clarity. She is guilty. But y'all, here's the limit of law. Law can expose guilt, but it can't release life. Law can expose guilt, it can expose sin, but it can't heal sin. Law can show the source of death, but it can never provide the pathway to life. So that's the whole purpose of the law. Walk back through the Ten Commandments. You can remember at least two or three on your own. Walk through the Sermon on the Mount as Jesus rephrases the Ten Commandments for His contemporary audience. Or just ask a few simple questions. Have you ever lied? Have you ever held on to anger, bitterness? Have you ever looked with lust, with desire, with covetousness that doesn't seem to have an end? If you can answer that to yes, if you can answer yes to that and any number of other questions that you could come up with, then you're not holding a stone. You're not with the accusers on the outside. You're standing in the circle. You're right beside the woman, ready to stare down the gaze of those who would judge you. You're trying to live in the dark. And y'all, I love this. Jesus steps in. Jesus steps in. And he does what he always does. He does something unexpected. They've prepared the questions, the law to trap him. Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the law. Moses commands us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? Again, John records the text here, tells us that they're using this question as a trap to accuse Jesus. And so he does something different. He doesn't answer. Notice that. Whenever Jesus is cornered with questions, he doesn't ever answer. He goes about his business. Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. Jesus is questioned, and he's doing chalk drawings, right, in the dirt.
We don't really know. Let's say this. We don't really know exactly what he is writing here. Lots of ink, lots of sermons, lots of ideas have been proposed as to what it is he's doing. Why is he writing? Maybe he is writing the Ten Commandments as if to refresh himself and to refresh his audience on the reach of the law. One reason I think it might be the Ten Commandments is because it says clearly he was writing with his finger. And in the Old Testament accounts, we know that God wrote, inscribed the Ten Commandments in the stone using his finger. Maybe that's an echo of that same Old Testament story. We don't know what he wrote exactly, but we know what he did. We know what he did. Because the only one in this circle who was qualified to throw a stone refused to even pick one up. The only one in the circle qualified to throw a stone is the only one who refuses to pick one up. So notice this. There is a difference between accusation and true light. The teachers of the law, they were not wrong in their accusation, but let's ask the question, what was the purpose? The purpose is to trap other people. The enemy will expose your sin. The enemy will point out your sin in order to trap you and to condemn you. But Jesus exposes sin in order to free you. In fact, the devil says, you are your sin. And Jesus says clearly, you don't have to stay there any longer. Jesus looks at her and he says, neither I. Woman, where are they? No, has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you. Again, pay attention to what he does say and what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, you didn't sin. He doesn't say, you're okay, I'm okay, you're okay. He simply removes the shame of the condemnation, and he follows that quickly by saying, go and leave your life of sin. Y'all, you got to hear this. Go and leave your life of sin. That's not a threat from Jesus. It's not a threat. It's not a tamer condemnation. It's a word of hope. It's a word of hope that she is not stuck where she has been. And only someone who can give you life can call you out of your old life. Only someone who can give you life can call you out of your old life. It's so easy to stop the story right there. But verse 12 continues, when Jesus spoke again to the people, It's like this story is unfolding. He's having this interaction with the woman. And there are other people. Remember, there's always an audience of people watching Jesus. He says to her, go and leave your life of sin. And then he steps back to everyone. And he says, I am the light of the world. And everyone just says, oh yeah, we get it now. I am the light of the world, because they saw Jesus step into a dark and to them unredeemable situation. And by stepping into it and by shining his light, he changes everything. And friends, for each one of us, there's a reminder that Jesus is not just the light of the world in general. Jesus is the light of your world. He is not the light of the world in general. He is the light of your world. And you have a choice. You can continue to hide in darkness, or you can step into life in the light. You can continue to hide in darkness, or you can step into life in the light. Where are the places that we continue to hide in our own darkness? Maybe for some of you, it is a hidden habit. There's something that no one else sees. It's what you turn to late at night when you're tired. It's where you turn to, what you depend on when you need to cope. And you've told yourself you have it compartmentalized and it's manageable in your life, but it only survives because it remains hidden. stepping into the light for you might mean this week naming it, writing it out in a prayer journal before God, saying it out loud to God and maybe to one trusted person. The Lord's brother James, writing in his short letter, he was not wrong when he writes in James 5:16, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." There is healing that comes with acknowledging our sin before other people and recognizing that people, other people, gracious, Christ-filled people, can hear us at our worst and accept us and live with us as we continue to grow walking in the light. For some, it's not a habit, it's a broken relationship. There's someone you've just decided to avoid, or someone you've written off, and you've learned to live around it. You've adjusted your life to that person's absence. You've learned to live around them, but it is still darkness for you. So your invitation this week, one move, maybe one text, one phone call or conversation, maybe a written letter. Or maybe you're not quite that ready yet, but what you need to do before the Lord is simply release your right to be angry. Because you know how you tell the story of that relationship if you can find someone to listen. You're always painting it so that you look good and shiny and they look bad. So you release the right to stay angry and ask God to begin the process of healing. Maybe it's not a habit or a broken relationship. Maybe it's some internal lie, something that you have, not what you've done, but it's what you believe about yourself that simply isn't true. Maybe you tell yourself, "I'll never be able to change. I'm too far gone. This is just who I am now." Friends, I want to tell you in the name of Jesus, that is not the truth. That is the enemy. That is darkness continuing to try to speak into your life. So take this step. Step into the light by replacing that lie with the truth. "I am not what I have done. I am who Jesus says I am. I am a beloved son or a beloved daughter of God through Jesus." I have a friend, Andy, who was my youth pastor in another church. Now he's serving a church of his own. I got a chance to have coffee with him a few weeks ago, and he told me this from his spiritual director. He said, "This is the prayer that I've been challenged to pray every single day. It comes from a Catholic sister, Macrina. The prayer is this: Oh Lord, help me believe the truth about myself, no matter how beautiful it is. Lord, help me believe the truth about myself, no matter how beautiful it is." Friends, let's be real. There are times we think too highly of ourselves, but there are many other hidden, dark ways that we think far too little of ourselves. And God in Christ is calling us to growth and to life. The light that exposes you is the light that saves you. And so, friends, here's the good news. Jesus doesn't just call us into the light. He is the light. He didn't just call us last week on Easter. He didn't just call us to resurrection. He doesn't just make resurrection happen. He is resurrection and life. And He doesn't just shine light. He is light. And He meets us there. He meets us here around this table. Because this table is not, for one, it's not my place or my table or our church's table. This is not a place where only those who have gotten it all together come and gather and take a victory lap and have a celebratory meal. When we come to this table, we don't come pretending. We don't come hiding. We come as we walk into the light of Christ. We come to see more clearly, and we come knowing that as we come to the table, Christ sees us. We are seen more clearly. And we are still welcomed. And we are still fed. And we are still loved. You can hide in the dark, or you can live in the light. This table is where we step into the light once again. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, shine your light into our lives, not to shame us, but to save us. Give us courage to step into the light and to receive all that we need for life. In Christ we pray. Amen.